Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello and welcome to Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Well, hello. I'm Brett. Well, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Auditioning for a Carry On film.
Carry On film, probably some film where I'm like an Asian. I was good looking in me youth, but now I'm now I'm 70 or something. But there's a young lass, I know she's come around to do me shopping and all that, and she just puts a spark back in it. Nothing naughty happens, because that would not be right, but puts a little spark back in my eye. You know what I mean? That's the part I'm going for.
I was kind of visualizing you as that. You remember that bloke off the fast show who used to go, me? In the school dormitory.
With my reputation. The 13th Duke of Wimbledon with my reputation.
Yeah, that's who I thought you were, Clint.
Oh, well,
I'll nice be to him see as well. You anyway.
Yeah, yes. All right, I'm in a new position. I was telling you before, but then you interrupted us.
Did I, sorry.
But I've got a new, you know, I've been perched on the swinging chair, just carrying the microphone for a couple of months. Because we destroyed the furniture out here. I've invested in a very small table.
Nice.
And this is a new arm for the microphone, because the last one broke. Uh-huh. So I'm firing on all cylinders from a tech point of view.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Is table tech?
My wife has purchased a rotten chair. Which
I'm on a rocking chair.
I'm perched on at the moment. Look,
Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, it's like out of Psycho, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I'll get in that clothes and that.
Of course. She was like, "You're always in me clothes, Brett. I might as well buy you that rocking chair."
Exactly. You're always. I know you've been angling.
Yeah, subtle hints. Wearing an old woman's clothes all the time.
All right, I'll buy the chair.
I'll do it.
I'll do it. I certainly will.
Have you been watching this True Detective?
I know that I've seen. I think the first two series were watched.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, me and you?
You what?
You mean me and you?
No, me and you. Me and you watched it. We're together.
Is that what you mean?
I don't think so. No, I mean me and the wife. Of course.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
The purchaser chairs.
Official. I watched the first one, which was obviously everybody loved it, and it was.
Is that the Matthew McConaughey one?
McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Turns out they're related after that.
I can't remember what happens.
No, but in real life, I think like this turns out that they're half brothers or something. Strange.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds like you made that up. But go on.
But then the second one had Vince Vaughn in, so. Didn't watch it.
I think I watched that one as well, but I didn't watch the third one.
Well, the second one got panned, absolutely panned. The third one has got Maharaja Ali in, who's, I like him, but it was just off my radar because the second one was meant to be so bad and I really can't stand Vince Vaughn, so I didn't watch it. But I read rave reviews of this one. It's a new showrunner, a new director, a lady director. I think that's the official term. A directress.
directress. Yeah, that's fine.
I think that's it.
I'll,
yeah.
I'll go with that.
And Jodie Foster's in it, and it's set in Antarctica and like Nebraska or whatever. What's that place called? Alaska.
Yeah.
Nebraska. Alaska.
Antarctica. So is it like the thing? Idea.
Yes. A group of scientists have got in a research center have gone missing, presumed hideously killed. It's a bit like the thing. It's a bit David Lynchy, I think, in some of the strange goings on because it's all like eerie. But there's obviously people like, well, because it's all Eskimos and that, and they're like, oh, well, you know, the spirits.
Eskimos in that.
It is.
Is it really Eskimos in that? In igloos?
Not in igloos, but in the township.
Have the Eskimos like grown out of the igloo thing? Have they like moved in?
I don't think grown out of them. They're just a normal town. They haven't like evolved grown into out giants.
That kind of behavior hasn't grown out of them. No. They're still up to it, are they?
Still getting up to it.
The Eskimos.
Give them half a chance.
Soon your back's turned. Fucking igloo.
It's good. I've watched the first three episodes or four. It's really, really good. I think you will like it.
I will watch it.
That's my recommendation for this week. I haven't really watched out else other than that.
I haven't either. A couple of things on Channel 4 we've been watching. The wonderful 24 Hours in Police Custody, obviously.
Which I haven't watched it for a while. I've watched it, but I haven't watched it for a while. It's cracking. It's brilliant.
It's fantastic. I think the last one that was on was horrific.
Oh.
It was absolutely horrific. I told all the people at work to watch it and stuff. But yeah, it was quite shocking, the last actual episode that was on.
Ugh.
Give that one a watch if you want. And we've been watching one about the police, where they're investigating their own officers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, the grass department.
It's not as good as 24 Hours in Police Custody, though.
Is it real?
No way. It's real, yeah.
Okay.
And that's on Channel 4 as well. So that's what we've been watching. Nothing else. I bought a big, massive... I'll show you, because it's over my shoulder. I bought a big, massive Hammer horror box set thing.
Another one? Surely you don't need another one.
I needed another one. So I've got that, so I'm working through that. And there was a wonderful film in called Prehistoric Women.
Well, I think I've got that on the books. I've saved all the Hammer ones in case you ever wanted to watch them. I think I've seen that. I think that's on there. I'll have a look. I like the sound of it.
Fantastic.
I like the sound of it because one of two things, or both of them, will be happening in that. One, giant women. Two, women in little fur kind of bikini outfits, or a giant woman in a tiny fur outfit. In which case, that would be the ultimate for me.
Well, you're pretty much there.
Are they in the modern world?
No, they're not. It's a kind of time travel-y sort of thing. And the prehistoric women that have black hair enslave the ones that have blonde hair.
And what do they make them get up to, Brett?
They would just make them do all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff?
Like the dishes and that, the heavy lifting, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Who's in it?
What's the name of the woman in it? There's no like Peter Cushing or Christopher Lee or anything like that. But there's a girl in it who's in a couple of Hammer horror films, and she's in one which is Jekyll and Hyde, but instead of like Dr. Jekyll turned into the monster, he turns into a woman instead, and it's the same woman that plays this. So that's like a gender swap Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Okay.
I think her name's Martine Beswick.
I like it.
Yes, you'll like it. It's good. Mm-hmm. It is very good.
All right, I'll see if I've got it because I do like the sound of that. And that's what you've been up to, is it? What about the football? Are you involved in that?
Football? I've just been watching the Sunderland matches. I've gone off football, unless it's watching my team, really.
I've probably got back into it a bit more the last year, maybe because. I don't know. I think because we play football with people who support all different teams, so there's always somebody talking about a game. So I tend to watch a bit more. I've told you before, me mate, who's a Blackburn supporter. That club has still stolen our thunder of balmy Championship football club decisions. I don't know if you've seen what's going on there.
It's still the Venkies.
The Venkies, but they haven't been to Ewood Park or England since 2013.
Have they not?
No.
After they boasted that they were going to sign Ronaldinho and that.
Yeah, John Dal Thomas was the manager.
They went missing after that.
John Dal Thomas is the manager, but may well not be the manager by the time we finish this podcast. Because
why? What's been going on, Cliff?
It's similar to Mowbray's. Like, well, what the fuck? Like, they've basically gone from sixth in the league to then 18th or 19th. They haven't won in 11 games or something. And John Dal Thomas is like, well, yeah, because they won't spend any money. They won't sign any players. They sold that guy at Crystal Palace, an 18-year-old, for 25 million. And didn't replace him. I think they sold their striker, Sam Gallagher, to Ipswich as well, which will help them in their promotion push. So
Brereton Diaz, he went in the summer, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's a funny one because I watched him play a lot. And like when he's on his game, he's great. He scored the other day for, did he play for Sheffield United?
I thought it was Villarreal or something.
He's at Sheffield United on loan.
Oh, has he gone to Sheffield United?
I'm going to say that hasn't really worked out for him, that move.
You'd think not. I remember he didn't have the Diaz bit.
No, he just Ben Brereton from Rotherham.
He just added that on, didn't he? Because he was getting picked back. Was it Peru or something?
He's Chilean, yeah. His granddad was Chilean. Chile.
Right,
I think
you're
Chile, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Anyway, yeah, so they haven't signed anyone. John Dal Thomason just keeps saying, well, the owners, don't ask me about any of this shit. They don't know what, they don't put any money in. They don't know what they're doing. So a press conference, it was either before last weekend's game or after, they didn't allow him to do the press conference.
The Venkies did.
Whoever's in charge.
Said, no, Mr. Thomason, you're not allowed.
You're not allowed.
Did they have like a giant chicken in his place? Yeah. Should have done
in a tin. I think that's what they
in
do.
A tin. Tinned chicken. Is that what the Venkies sell? Tinned chicken.
I don't know. That might get us in trouble more than whatever we're saying about the football team.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine why. Sued by the Venkies.
That would be good to have on the description of the podcast, though, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? To pay for a new left back.
So then what happened? There's something else silly happened as well. Also, they called for random players in to come and meet four random supporters, I should say, to come and meet this chief executive and like three or four of the players, and then release the CCTV footage of the meeting. they would just ring you and say, we know there's some people are concerned, so will you come in and listen to the players tell you that everything's all right? And like, it's just the players,
and we'll record you without your knowledge.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird, really strange.
it does sound a lot like Sullivan, doesn't it? We'll get to see a little bit more of that with a Sullivan till I die thing. That's starting again in a couple of days' time.
It's coming over. It just covers the playoffs last year, right? I think. Oh, the year we went
up. Yeah, I think so. The year we got promoted, I think. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Still
being funny,
Sunderland,
isn't it? Because really, Michael Beale's done nothing different to Mowbray, but all of a sudden it's really shit.
Well, I think you got it right. You should have just stopped where you said that really Michael Beale has done nothing.
Well,
and
no,
it at that, I think.
I don't know what he keeps
supposed
saying.
Supposed to be there to improve, isn't he? And he hasn't, has he?
Well, no.
He's supposed to be an improvement on
players,
on Mowbray.
The players look like they don't know what they're meant to be doing. The amount of times I've seen somebody just pass the ball out of play, like, it's happened about five times a game. They're just like...
Yeah, I know. That's like a concentration, isn't it?
It's like not concentrating on what you're meant to be doing and just like, oh, I'll just hit it over here then. There was one on the weekend and we were chatting after that game on Sunday with Middlesbrough, or during it. That new Norwegian lad, everybody said he was great. I thought he was absolutely terrible.
I thought he was shocking.
Well, there was one
I thought people were watching a different game. It's like, I couldn't believe it. Like, the club are putting out a great debut and all this kind of thing. I thought he was terrible.
There was one bit where he hit a pass cross field from left back to right back. It almost went out of the stadium. He fucking absolutely fired it.
It's that thing where they try to like control the narrative type thing, isn't it? You know, that's what football clubs are trying to do now, and Sunderland especially, I think.
Yeah.
But they're trying to convince people that everything's great.
Yeah. That's not entirely it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Entirely exactly. that. And so I think you're right. They were saying like, what a great debut. And everyone's going, oh, good to see another young, like, and I was like, well, no, he was really bad.
He was really bad. He was terrible.
Anyway,
he really was.
But the thing is, we keep like getting a result. Maybe not. We're not winning every game, but you know, we come back to draw that, and we probably could have won it. But I don't think either team really deserved to win. So I think Beale should have been sacked after about three games. But I think he'll keep his job because the club obviously want him there. They don't want to sack him. They've got out their way to hire him, right? So they're not doing a suddenly.
Well, that's admitting failure after sack him, isn't it? And that's another thing that they won't do, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird. So we had time because we are still seventh or something, but it just seems like it's all gone to shit. Anyway,
it's certainly not the completely sort of thrown football that we saw when at our best under Mowbray, I think.
No.
Not seen anything like that.
Definitely not. But I also quite like how they were saying that our goal was a howler from the Middlesbrough keeper. I mean, it wasn't great goalkeeper, but I wouldn't say it was a howler. Like,
it was a spinny volley, wasn't it? It was pretty difficult, I think.
I think where it bounced, it was incredibly unlucky for the keeper, but they were like, he was getting absolutely slated. Should have been slated for his hair and his beard because he looked like a fucking tramp.
It did look a little bit like the Hill Survives, didn't it, from Middlesbrough?
I wasn't that keen on it.
The club have rented out loads of flats next to the toxic waste.
But their players
is spewed out of Middlesbrough. I think that's what's happening. Half them look like they were burned or something.
Honestly, I did not enjoy...
Very badly burned.
Didn't enjoy the appearance of their players at all. Like, apart from there's one... That Hayden Hackney, who played in midfield, he was quite a handsome chap, but everybody else looked weird as fuck.
It was like the Hill Survives. It really was.
Anyway, we're not here to keep talking about football. We're here to talk about the 1991 sitcom, The British Empire, starring Chris Barry of Red Dwarf fame.
Yes, and you picked this one. A bit out of left field when you sent us it. I was like, ooh, he's picked that, has he?
Did you watch it when it was on?
It was one of those things, I think, that I would watch if it was on the telly. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't go out my way to watch it, I don't think. But yeah, I remember watching it as a kid and watching it sort of, you know, this time brought back a couple of memories. I'd completely forgot about the janitor stroke personal trainer or whatever he is. Like, who also is seemingly from Middlesbrough, looking at the state of him. Sorry if there's anybody listening from Middlesbrough.
He's got weeping sores all over, hasn't he?
He certainly has, yes. And he's got like bandages on his hands and all that kind of stuff, hasn't he?
That's one of the best lines, isn't it?
And he's from the northeast, isn't he? I checked him out.
The character is he's from Bradford, but it's a good accent that he does.
It is.
So have you got a synopsis?
I've got a very short one for you, which I haven't done myself, but there you go. So, yeah, we're talking about the British Empire. Gordon Britass is the manager of Whitby Newtown Leisure Centre. Despite his good intentions, everything seems to go wrong when he's around, despite the best efforts of the centre staff and his long-suffering wife, Helen. I think it's a bit of a lie, the last bit. I don't think his wife could give two hoots about him.
Hello, and she's on the wine from 8 a.m. So she's in the gin.
I thought it was the gin. Could have been the wine.
I think it was wine at first. Maybe they graduated was the gin.
She's been forced to it, hasn't she? By Mr. Britass.
the premise is he's a kind of uptight officious Jobsworth fella who's got a job as a manager of a new leisure centre that for some reason he's the last person to join. Even
if anything, it's more like an updated version of Fawlty Towers or something, isn't it?
It is. I think they've gone with that kind of that fairly similar concept of a fella that thinks he's in the right all the time, but everybody thinks he's annoying. Chaos happening all around him, and he doesn't realize it's down to him. He thinks it's everybody else.
I think it's a bit more surreal than certainly Fawlty Towers.
Well, there's one bit in it that I couldn't remember it being that kind of thing. The fella with the table tennis stuff.
Oh, yeah. it'll just go like off on tangents, won't it? Mm. And that's a perfect example of the end of this particular episode. Where the bloke throws sharpened bats at Mr. Brittus.
Dressed as a ninja from the ceiling of a leisure centre sports hall.
Yeah. My favourite bit was you could see him in the background just climbing up the wall.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
This is Chris Barry. It's a vehicle for him. Red Dwarf would still have been running at this point, and he's Rimmer in Red Dwarf, which is hugely popular, like kind of cult comedy, but it's very, very popular with a lot of people, but not massively mainstream. And this was a vehicle for him, which is a bit more mainstream, BBC One, like 8:30 kind of slot, I think. And he was pretty big at this point, but he hasn't really done much else. I think he's in some pop videos and Spice World and things like that, I think.
I think the last time that I saw him in anything was he was in the Tomb Raider films, wasn't he?
Angelina Jolie. That's it. Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah, he played like the butler or something like that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the last time that I saw him. But yeah, I mean, he was pretty big. I mean, Red Dwarf. Did you watch Red Dwarf?
Yeah, because my dad really liked it. It was a Friday night thing. And it was one of those where my mom used to go to the bingo on a Friday night and my dad and me would go and pick her up. Our Daniel was maybe like, we'd have to take, maybe it was when I was smaller. No, at this point, there would be Cheers and Red Dwarf. And I think after one of them, we'd go and pick my mom up. So we used to watch Red Dwarf. I suppose I liked it when I was a kid because it was spaceships and it was quite surreal. I probably didn't get like the jokes and stuff in it. I probably just thought it was pretty cool because they're in a spaceship and there was a cat and all of this kind of hologram. Because when you're a kid, you love holograms, don't you?
Of course you do. everybody loves a hologram, don't they? There was all the Smegs and all that kind of stuff.
So that was good.
It's got, like you said there, it's definitely got a cult following Red Dwarf, hasn't it? People love it, don't they?
They
brought
it
back on recently.
It was on Dave, wasn't it?
Dave, that's right, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I never watched that, but it can't be any good, can it?
Who knows? It might be. Never know.
So Chris Barry is one of the stars of that, and this is his more like mainstream show. And it must have been popular at the time. It came back again years later. It says it's on 91 to 97, but there's only 50 episodes. I feel like if you look at IMDb or whatever, in 97, there was different writers and different directors and stuff. Like a 6-episode run or something years later. Well,
in reading it, what happened? Because the two creators, one's called Richard Fagan and one's called Andrew Norris, who also created the children's TV program. Oof.
Which I thought was hilarious. I didn't know that until tonight.
Which is insane because you couldn't get any different, really, could you? There you go.
What was Woof about again, Brett?
It was just about a dog, wasn't it?
About a boy who turned into a dog.
Was it about a boy who turned into a dog? Well, it's also about a dog. It could have been. I can't really remember. I just thought it was about a dog.
I never really watched Woof, to be honest, but because I'm not that keen on dogs, so I didn't watch it.
Well, there you go.
Just watch a little terrier run around.
Nah. Wasn't a Yorkshire Terrier? It was a nice little fluffy thing, isn't it? There you go. Anyway, they created that. But so I was surprised at that. But what I was reading was they killed Britt herself in like season 5 or something like that.
Okay.
And then the kind of the resurrected them again when there was a new series, but the writers left, obviously, and went, this is just stupid. Don't do that.
So they just pretended that hadn't happened.
Basically. And also at the end, the last series, the last ever one, they've done the old Dallas thing where they've just gone, the whole thing was a dream.
A dream? Why would it be a dream?
It's like everything that's has happened in series 1-7 or whatever it is just in Britas's mind as he's driving to the interview to get the job. It's just a dream.
Yeah, it's a dream. Dreamed loads of terrible mishaps going on.
Exactly. What a terrible dream. A rather lengthy, terrible dream he dreamt for 6 years.
Driving a long way for the job interview. Get say, like, you know what?
That's
this job, weak. I've got a feeling this job's going to be shit. So thank you very much for your time. I'll see you later.
It's just weak as piss, that, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's just poor writing.
Kind of classic sitcom. So the town's called Whitby Newham or Whitby Newton or something like that.
Yeah, Whitby Newtown.
Whitby Newtown Leisure Centre. Mm. Again, it kind of taps into that. There's places like that, right? The late 80s, early 90s. The setting is quite apt for its time.
Yeah. I mean, it is very 90s. As soon as I put it on, like, even the colours, I don't know, there was something about the colours and stuff. It just, it was definitely the 90s when this happened, you know?
A set of, comedy characters. All of the people that work in the leisure centre have got something a bit, odd quirky about them. Quirky.
Yeah.
So the lady on reception is always crying because she's got that hilarious situation of being abandoned by her husband and she's suffering from postnatal depression. What a lovely setup that is. And she has a baby in a drawer.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. Is it went on the babies that you had wearing a drawer or something? Weren't
they? They didn't mention it in this, but there's a baby in the drawer behind her. Not great. Yeah,
she has to bring her babies to work and stuff like that. And the other one that I remember is lovely, sexy Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Yeah. There's quite good characters, isn't it? Do you think it's sexy because of the sportswear?
Of course. Definitely. She's near the swimming baths.
Well, you got into
she's always PE in it. Exactly. There was a gay couple in it as well, wasn't it? Tim and Gavin.
Yeah, it's only referred to in this rather, or inferred. And as soon as it started,
I think it's obvious to win it.
It's obvious, yeah. But as soon as it started, I was like, I hope this isn't really bad taste. We didn't go there. I don't know whether it does in the next episodes or not. Basically, they're trying to swap their shifts around so they can have time off together. And they're like, we like spending time together, and then give themselves a little glance. And I was like, all right, that's okay. But I hope there's not any kind of crass bits that come after that. But there wasn't. But that's when the other fella joins in, the young lad, Andy or whatever he's called, who wants to be on the table tennis rota. And basically the source of frustration and comedy, I guess, in this episode is that he's put together quite a strict timetable of people's staff times, people's rotas, and where they're working in the leisure centre, and they don't like it. That's the point. That's where it's coming from.
He's used some kind of graph or something like that to do the shifts, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, Gordon Britas just upsets everybody, doesn't he, throughout the program,
and then doesn't realize
right at the start he upsets his own kids when he tries to show them how to play cricket and stuff like that, doesn't he? Yeah. And hit them on the leg with the cricket bat or something like that.
Yeah,
so he's just an incompetent. It's almost as if he's just self centered and he goes about his business just in the way that he'd like to do, regardless as to whether he's upsetting anybody or
you think it's an influence on Curb Your Enthusiasm. What you've described is the exact premise of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, apparently it was a bit of an influence on, Alan Partridge and stuff like that. This wasn't it. That's what I guess.
He's got the same jacket on.
He's got the same jacket. He's and obviously he's very sort of militaristic as well, isn't he?
Yes.
The title credits are him sort of you know, training and working out and stuff like that to military music.
Yeah.
And he kind of, it's not any inferred that he's in the army or anything. Yeah, is that in the
story that he's like, he's come out of the army and he's doing all of this kind of, or he just thinks he should be?
Certainly nothing in this episode that we've watched will sort of imply that, will it? It's almost like he's, you know, Britass, it's like Britain. It's that type of thing, like stiff upper lip. So
yeah, it's probably like little Englander kind of thing, isn't it? But I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. Like,
it was.
There's some good lines in it. And then you've got that surreal bit where that fella's up on the walls throwing the sharpened table tennis bats at him before trying to crush him with a table tennis table that he'd strapped to the roof.
It's because he puts him on pool duty or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that where it is?
He wants to be table tennis.
He puts him on pool duty.
And he's like, you put us on pool duty, but I'm a table tennis man. I've played in the county championships under 12s league and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, well, we haven't even got table tennis because it's a waste of money. He says, I've got better things to spend money on than people hitting a small ball over a 2-inch net. That was quite a good line.
That's it. The other bit that I thought was really funny as well was pretty much the same scene where he's like talking to various members of staff and something like that. And he takes one of them aside and he says, look, we kind of have you next to the pool because of your, obvious you know, reasons, the stuff that's in your records. And the boss goes, what are you talking about? You know, it's in the records there. Well, no, I don't. You know, you're sexually transmitted disease. No, that's sexually transmitted.
But then the guy's like, sexually transmitted.
And then he shouts at the other person over.
He's like, that's not me, that's Damien. That's Damien. The cat's out the back.
Exactly. That made us laugh out loud. That bit. Yeah. That was
there's a couple of bits that I thought were really funny. And the character's like just one of those classic characters, I think. Like, it works. Doesn't matter whether it's the 90s, 2000s, 70s or whatever. It's just that guy that's so obnoxious and doesn't realise that he is. I thought it was good. Brett, we're going to run out of time.
He's good in this, isn't he? Chris Barry's as well. He's like,
I think he's great.
He's obviously created the character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And his voice. He's great in voice.
Yeah, his nasal-like voice. I think it's great. Let's have a little break. Come back in 5 minutes and we'll finish this off. And I've got a quiz and some music. See you.
Hey, Cliff, would you like some breaking news?
Okay.
John Dahl Thomason has today left his position as Blackburn Rovers head coach by mutual consent. You go.
Fair enough.
In the little time that we're talking, they've also appointed a new manager.
Instantly. Oh, who is it?
John Eustace or someone.
All right, okay. The one who Rooney ousted at Birmingham.
Yes, that's him.
Okay.
Things move quite quickly, don't they?
They do. But I think we're finished talking about British Samba. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, it was nice to watch it back. It was funny in places and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Chris Barry was good, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I've got a quiz for you about 90s British sitcoms.
Ooh.
I think it's quite easy. I think you should be able to do all right in it.
I hate it when you say that.
Let us get it up.
Go on, Gerardo. Go on.
You told us not to touch anything.
She said.
Right. So 5 questions. All I want you to do is tell me the name of the sitcom. All right?
Okay. I'm
going to give you... I'm going to mime it to you. And you'll just have to tell me the name of the sitcom. No, I've got a description. Number one. This show was set in a fictional Oxfordshire village and starred Dawn French as Geraldine Granger.
Right. That was the one where she was the priestess. Is it a priestess?
A high priestess, yeah.
A high priestess. Yes, she was a high priestess. What was that called again?
That is literally a job and the place.
I know what you're going to see. it's on the tip of my tongue. What was it called?
You can't remember it.
Tell, I know where it is. I can't remember what the name is. It's just escaping my mind.
Unfortunately, that's the game.
The Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah,
it's entered. You see, that's how my mind works.
Mm-hmm. All right, nice one. Okay, so this 1990 sitcom starred Dennis Waterman as Tony Carpenter, a self-made man who had turned his minicab firm into a chauffeur service and became a millionaire.
No, I don't know this
one. He also
one.
Sang the theme tune.
Obviously he did. It's also a Hammer film with him in.
Is
a Dracula
it?
One. He's in a Dracula
does
one.
Does he sing the theme tune of that?
He doesn't sing the theme tune.
It'd be funny if he did that. A Dracula one.
It would. Dracula. No.
All right.
No, I don't know this one.
This is called I'm on the Up. It's called On the Up.
I remember the theme tune.
But he didn't write the show, but he did write the theme tune. So what does that tell you, Bob?
Exactly. Has it in his contract that he's got to write the theme tune?
Actually, this next one is quite difficult.
You said it was easy?
I know. I've just realized this one is quite left field. So this ran between 1992 and 1994. It's about a family led by patriarch George Costigan. Do you know who that is?
No.
I love George Costigan. He's Bob from Rita Sue and Bob 2 and many other things.
All right. Okay. Yes, I
that's George Costigan. He's quite an accomplished painter these days.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
But like Vic Reeves.
Yeah. So this family moves into a new home that's occupied by the ghost of previous resident, a middle-aged Jewish mother called Yetta Feldman.
It sounds great. And it does sound good.
Basically, they try and reunite.
Exercise. The exerciser.
They try and reunite the lady with her estranged daughter called Carol. So basically, they try and help her out. And then I think she says, I'll fuck off if you find her. And so I can say sorry to her, whatever. Can you remember it at all?
No, I can't remember that at all. Honestly, can it?
It's called So Haunt
No idea.
Me.
So Haunt Me. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe we should watch
that.
I
think I'll watch that one with the family in the 90s.
I remember it being on, but I wasn't like family viewing, that's for sure. right.
Was the tits.
Let's get back on track. I just meant it wasn't something that we all sat down to watch. fourth one. This should get you back on track. Nicholas Lyndhurst starred as Gary Sparrow, who time traveled back to the 1940s wartime London, where he started an affair.
Yes, my dad used to like this one. But once again, in typical Brit style, the title of it is escaped my mind.
Yeah. Oh dear, I thought you'd get this one.
Oh, what the fuck was that called, man?
He goes,
as time goes by or something like that, was that?
No, was, that is about two
is
old people.
Is it
starring
Annette
somebody
is
Jeffrey? What's that guy? Jeffrey's got big jowls. Jeffrey Palmer and Annette somebody, can't remember her name. That's as time goes by anyway.
Right.
This is
what's
called,
it called?
Good Night, Sweetheart.
Good Night, Sweetheart, yes.
Went on for a long time.
I would have watched it with my dad and stuff. I never liked it. Like, it was crap. But my dad liked it. Probably because he liked Only Fools and Horses at the time, I think.
Yeah, I think Lyndhurst was massive at the time, right? Yeah, I think people liked that show because of that, but it bit of a strange premise.
Is he in Frasier or something? No.
Yeah, he's pretty good, actually. He plays like an old college professor who's like always on the whiskey.
All right.
It's quite good. Like, it's good series. I thought it was going to be crap, but it actually turned out to be pretty good. Right. Uh-huh. Fifth one. Let's see if you can get this. From the writers of So Haunt Me.
Thanks.
This starred. This was about two sisters whose husbands are sent to prison for armed robbery and are forced to live together.
Was that Birds of a Feather?
It is Birds of a Feather, yeah.
It is.
How did you
still
get
haven't
that?
Done that either, have we?
No, we haven't.
We went through a stage of just talking about that, I think. And we're supposed to be talking about other things.
Phil never watched
talking about Dorian and stuff.
I feel like this writer has, because obviously Dorian is a Jewish neighbor. I think there's something in that where it's the dead Jewish middle-aged woman and the other one. The writer's onto something.
There must be something in that, wasn't there? She was always in Lycra, wasn't she, Dorian? You know always what? Exercising.
Do you remember she did a raunchy performance of Like a Virgin?
Yes, I do remember. It's imprinted on my mind, yes.
Of course, yeah. There was Lycra involved there.
Of course, yeah. That was quite funny. I can imagine, right, looking back, if we watch it again, it would be fucking awful, wouldn't it? It would be terrible.
But she was like the older lady next door, right, that was always after the men. But
she was after young men, wasn't she?
Yeah, but she's she can't have been that old because, I mean, she's still knocking about now, right? And it's like 30 years later. She can't have been that old when it was on.
No,
but the whole premise
not.
Was
probably
she was
not.
Like too old for the men that she was after.
Yeah. She's just like a temptress, wasn't she? Or a MILF, I think it would call her now.
A temptress.
Yeah, it was temptress. Keeping up appearances anyway. That one was the best one.
Yes.
You've abandoned that.
No, I went for So Haunt Me instead.
Did you? It was either So Haunt Me or that, was it? If you had said like the bouquet woman, I would have got there straight away, wouldn't I? Yeah. I used to like another one as well. It was called Couplin, I think.
Couplin?
Yeah, I'm sure it was called Couplin. It was on like BBC Two and stuff like that. A couple, someone like that. And that was pretty good. They didn't make many in that.
That's a little later also, than this, though, right? That's the.
It's still the 90s. Still the 90s, I'm sure it was. And also, you've abandoned that one that also used to be on BBC Two as well, with that blonde lass in, where they changed
Game
the
on.
Actor and the second. Yeah. Why not?
Game on, because that's like too cool. Isn't it? You're talking about cool ones. I'm talking about Sunday night BBC ones.
It's too cool.
But these are all
cool.
Sunday night BBC ones, right? The ones that you're talking about are ones we actually would have watched on our own.
That was quite good. That was Nick Ewan.
Yeah, it was Ben Chaplin at first in the first series. He was like cool guy who always had loads of tall tales, but was agoraphobic and would never go out of his flat. So he had to get lodgers in to help him pay the rent because he didn't have a job.
You'd have like surfboards and stuff in his room and things. But
he'd be like wearing, get dressed up in the light grass and that, but would never go out.
Yeah.
What was the
song?
I used
to like that one.
When I Get to Heaven. Like the Gigolo Ants, I think was the...
it's a good song, that one, isn't it?
Good. I like that show. That was good, but it was especially when we were like teenagers. It was like that and Men Behaving Badly and a couple of other things were all kind of similar vibe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, it's just like on a Friday on BBC Two, like after nine, it would always be like three programs or whatever, like comedy programs.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Bottom or something like that, or you know, the Day to Day or. That's how I started watching that, because you knew on a Friday on BBC Two, it was like comedy night type thing. She's back.
Didn't go out.
A little.
You didn't go out.
I got changed. I got all ready.
I'll see you in 5 minutes. We're almost done.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. She's back. It's all better of going She's out back. This time of night.
Yeah, well, there you go. But yeah, it used to be like,
Shooting Stars
every
on
Friday,
there, right?
it would be something different, you know. And that's definitely how I watched like the first Alan Partridge and stuff, because I knew that there would be something funny on from like 9 till 10:30. And that's how I caught that.
There's a new Partridge series coming out, apparently.
Yeah, I've just read it. He
should come back from 10 months in Saudi Arabia or something. Is the premise of it?
Is that the premise? Is it?
He's back.
Well,
to the
I am looking forward to watching Cliff. Is that because you know I like the game Fallout, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but yeah,
you don't know where it is, but they're making a TV series about it. So I think it comes out in
April
or something.
It's
a post-apocalyptic sort of world where like atomic bombs have gone off and people are are living in vaults, like sort of under the ground to protect them. And then they come out into the wide world to see what the world's like.
I like changed and stuff. I like that.
Yeah, well, the game's mint. So and I'm
what
sure.
Have you,
like
what have you got to do in the game?
It's you're just wandering about. You sort of leave the vaults and you just explore the wastelands and stuff like that. So it's
get
like exploration.
No
huh?
You get up to no good.
You get up to no. If that takes your fancy, Cliff, you can certainly get up to no good. Pick up rocks. You can fight with death claws, stuff like that. But there's a fella in that you like, isn't there? I'm trying to. Walton Goggins.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I like him. He's good. Good
you
character
like him,
actor.
Don't you? Mm-hmm. Yes. So he's in it. He plays a ghoul, I think. So.
Okay.
But we should do that when it comes out anyway.
Okay. I like that. I've just read tonight, and I hope it was a joke, that they're remaking Cape Fear with Tom Hardy, and it comes out next month.
I also saw a sort of poster for it, but yeah. I thought it was just a joke.
It looked like a spoof, didn't it? Because it looked like the other poster, but saying it was Tom Hardy.
I thought it was just like a fan art thing.
I hope it stays.
I could be wrong.
I hope it stays like that.
I know.
Imagine Tom Hardy's accent and that, all the voices he'd be able to do in that.
I like Tom Hardy. I you don't particularly like him, do you? I don't think, but I like him. But
can't understand.
We've had two
KPIs
already, haven't we?
I know. Like
you
we don't need another one.
No, we don't need another one.
I keep thinking we should do our favorite
KPI. I think we should. We'll do it next week if you want, or next time.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Probably don't even need to watch it, but I'll probably watch the other one as well.
Watch both. I've only seen the black and white one once. It's Robert Mitchum, isn't it?
Mitchum, who's in the Scorsese one.
He is in the Scorsese one. He's a lawyer in it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who he pays to beat up Max Cady.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just, I don't know, how old do you think De Niro was in that film? Was he like 46 or something?
Was
he? Because he's ripped the fuck. He's ripped the fuck.
Did he actually get the tattoos? Probably did.
I'd love that if he actually got the tattoos. Guilty.
Well, let's talk about it next time then. That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
Right,
let's
we've got
do
some music.
Next. Yes, we have music. We've got music from The Shop Window this week.
Like that.
Yeah, they're from Maidstone, Kent. I think we've had them on before. I'm sure we have.
I think we have,
you know. Yeah, we have. And this is the new single, I Run, and it's from the third album, which is coming out soon, I think, called Daystream.
Yeah, I like this. Also, new lad at work who I've just hired from Maidstone, Kent. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
There
maybe
you go,
knows
then. Exactly. Could do. Who knows?
All right. Well, here's the Shop Window. Speak to you next time, Brett. See you later. Bye-bye.
See you later, mate.
I run with a feeling to die. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.